Breva, how are you doing? We're about to start our 13th dialogue class, which means that you have reached the middle of the course and that we're going to start a new wave now. Congratulations, Breva. Well done. You might already have noticed that we have a few changes around here, right? But it's not just the scenario that has changed. Our classes are also going to be a little different. First of all, although you're going to still see the translation of our dialogue, as you can see right here on our site, our classes are going to be mostly in English now, because I know that you are ready for that by now, right? Also, although we're going to still focus on vocabulary and structures, we're also going to focus a little more on pronunciation and on the uses of the words. All right? Are you ready for this new undertaking? I bet you are. So, as usual, to get started, let's listen to our dialogue.
Hey, Terry, can I speak with you for a moment?
Sure. What do you need?
Can you join me in my office for a second?
Okay, how can I help you?
I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure.
Right. Keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. But you've been missing a few deadlines, and I'm frankly worried.
I know. Like I said, it's been challenging. I've got a lot of different tasks at the moment, and I'm having a hard time keeping up.
I understand. It's been like that for everyone around here. However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others, and not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line.
I'm sorry. I'll see if there's any way to make my workflow a little quicker.
You see, I don't think that it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be to prioritize critical tasks.
That's a very good idea, but I don't always know which tasks are time critical.
Do you have a few minutes? I can show you how to check for priorities. It's a very simple process.
Sure. Thanks for helping me out.
Not a problem. As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure you're doing it on schedule. Hey, Terry, can I speak with you for a moment?
Sure. What do you need?
Can you join me in my office for a second?
Okay. How can I help you?
I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure.
Right. Keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. But you've been missing a few deadlines, and I'm frankly worried.
I know. Like I said, it's been challenging. I've got a lot of different tasks at the moment, and I'm having a hard time keeping up.
I understand. It's been like that for everyone around here. However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others, and not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line.
I'm sorry. I'll see if there's any way to make my workflow a little quicker.
You see, I don't think that it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be to prioritize critical tasks.
That's a very good idea, but I don't always know which tasks are time critical.
Do you have a few minutes? I can show you how to check for priorities. It's a very simple process.
Sure. Thanks for helping me out.
Not a problem. As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure you're doing it on schedule.
Very well then. Receiving criticism is never easy, but making criticism is also pretty hard, right? Well, let's take a closer look at our dialogue now to see how this feedback session went, shall we? So I'm going to read the sentences a little slowly at first, so that you can repeat after me if you'd like to, and then I'm going to read them in the normal pace, all right? So let's get started. Hey, Terry, can I speak with you for a moment? Hey, Terry, can I speak with you for a moment? Okay, notice how we have this connection, this link between with and you. Speak with you, with you, with you. Speak with you, speak with you for a moment. Can I speak with you for a moment? And also, remember that I told you about the prepositions that we use with the word speak? I told you that when I use speak with, which means falar com alguém, right? I use speak with when I'm talking about speaking with a person, but this requires some sort of interaction, right? The person has to answer me back. There has to be some kind of a dialogue. It's not just me talking to a person and this person just listening, okay? So if I speak with someone, I expect some kind of interaction, okay? So speak with requires interaction. So when she says there, can I speak with you? She expects this person to interact with her, all right? Very well then, moving on. Sure, what do you need? Sure, what do you need? Notice that I kind of linked the words do and you there to make the question. Do you? What do you need? I put them together and I said do. Something like that. Do, right? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? All right? Moving forward. Can you join me in my office for a second? Can you join me in my office for a second? This word join, we have seen it a lot of times here in our classes, right? And in this case here, when she invites the person to join her in her office, it means that she is already gonna be there, right? So what she's saying is, come into my office to be here with me. So join me. I'm gonna be here and I want you to be here with me. So come join me. Join me in my office for a second. All right? Okay, how can I help you? Okay, how can I help you? No secrets here, so let's move on. I wanted to talk to you briefly about our schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure. I wanted to talk to you briefly about our schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure. Okay, pay attention here to the pronunciation of the word wanted. We all know that wanted is the simple past version of the verb want, right? So want plus ed indicating simple past, right? Want is a regular verb. And we know that regular verbs, when they are in the simple past, they all have this ed in the end of the verb, right? Just as want or burn or check and so on. The thing is, they all end in ed, but their pronunciation varies, okay? So to help you understand a little more the differences in the pronunciation of the regular verbs in the past, I'm gonna call my colleague Luis.
English pronunciation can sometimes be quite confusing, especially for native speakers of Portuguese. One of the most notable situations in which Portuguese speakers often have difficulties pronouncing words in English is when they're talking about the past. But why? What's so special about verbs in the past that makes them a challenge for Brazilian speakers? Well, the problem is in the ed at the end of regular verbs in the past tense. You see, we have a very strong tendency to try and pronounce each syllable down to each letter in a way that is similar to how we would say them in Portuguese. And the problem is that the e in the ed suffix is not always pronounced. It all depends on the sound that comes right before it. You only pronounce the E if the sound before it is a T or a D, like in the verbs decide, need, invite, and print. These verbs in the past would sound like this. Decided, needed, invited, and printed. What about the other regular verbs? Well, the ED suffix might sound like a D or a T, depending on the sound that comes right before it. When you have a voiced sound, like in belong, advise, earn, follow, enter, and change, the ed sounds like a d. Belonged, advised, earned, followed, entered, and changed. When the sound is not voiced, like in ask, practice, finish, fix, jump, and watch, the ed ending sounds like a t sound. So these verbs in the past would sound like this. Asked, practiced, finished, fixed, jumped, and watched. To know if a sound is voiced or not, you just have to put your hand over your throat like this, and then pronounce it. Try it now. Put your hand on your throat and say, card, guard. Notice how your throat vibrates while saying g, but not while saying k. That's because g is voiced and k isn't. But the simple answer is this. When you're pronouncing your regular verb in the past, you only pronounce the E in the ED if there is a T or D before it. Otherwise, you don't. That's quite easy to remember, and your vocal folds are going to do the heavy lifting for you, for all the other verbs. That's it. Back to class.
Alrighty then, so wanted is one of those verbs in which the ED is very stressed. It's strongly pronounced. Wanted, wanted, I wanted, I wanted to, I wanted to talk to you. Alright, so I wanted to talk to you briefly. Briefly means for a short period of time. It's not gonna last very long. So briefly, very quickly. Alright, I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. Schedule is the American, the North American pronunciation, right? So this word here, schedule, is pronounced schedule in the North American version. The British version is actually schedule, right? Schedule. So if you hear someone saying schedule, it's okay. It's also accepted. It's also correct. It's just a variation of the pronunciation of the word, okay? So schedule for American English and schedule for British English, all right? As you know, notice here that I also link the word yes and the word you. As you, as you, as you know, as you know, okay? As you know, we're on track to become market leaders. On track, the track, the word track means a path, a way. So to be on track means to be on the path, to be on the way to what? To become market leaders, meaning that you're going to be the leader in the market in your sector, right? So market leaders in our sector. And that comes with a lot of pressure. That comes with, to come with, we talked about this already as well, indicates some sort of consequence, okay? So come with a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure is the consequence of what? Of becoming market leaders, right? So if you become a market leader, the consequence of that is a lot of pressure. So the consequence of that is a lot of pressure. It comes with a lot of pressure, right? Also, another word to be careful with the pronunciation is the word pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. A lot of pressure. That comes with a lot of pressure. All right, moving on. Right, keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging. Right, keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging. There are no big secrets here, right? The only thing I want to catch your attention to is the pronunciation, once again, of the link between with and a word that starts with the sound of a vowel, which is our. With our, with our, with our. Okay, so you actually link everything so it seems like it's only one word. With our, with our, with our production schedule. And there's also the pronunciation of the word been, okay? Been. It's not the same as saying being, okay? The pronunciation is a little different. Notice, when I say been, 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 and when I say being, 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 okay? So been is the participle of the verb to be. Been, I have been, she has been, our production schedule has been, right? And being is the gerund of the verb to be. Being, being, I am being, you are being, he is being, and so on. All right, so been, has been very challenging. Our production schedule has been very challenging. All right, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. But you've been missing a few deadlines, and I'm frankly worried. Don't worry, we're gonna split this paragraph into smaller sentences. Let's see. That's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. That's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. So the pronunciation of the word exactly is a little challenging, so let's practice that for a while here. Exactly, okay? It's like exactly, right? Something like that. Exactly. 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 That's exactly what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted to talk. That's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. Notice again the link between what and I. So what I wanted to, and also the link between wanted and to. Wanted to talk to you about. What I wanted to talk to you about, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. All right? Also remember that I told you a few times already that it's okay in English to end a sentence in a preposition, okay? That doesn't happen normally in our Latin languages, right? But it's pretty common in Germanic languages. So I wanted to talk to you about, we're ending the sentence with a preposition, and that's perfectly fine, okay? And talking about prepositions, notice the different prepositions I use with the verb talk. I use talk to when I'm talking about talking to someone, right? And I use talk about when I'm gonna talk about something. So talk to someone about something. Basically that, right? So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. What is about? About their production schedule, right? So talk to someone, talk to you about something, about the production schedule. All right? So talk to and talk about. Okay, let's move on. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. You see, Terry, this expression here, you see, is quite interesting and it's quite useful because it introduces a topic that is a little complicated, a little delicate, a little sensitive. So we use it to introduce a delicate topic, right? I think in Portuguese we would say something like veja bem or então, something like that. We use our intonation as well to help the person notice that we're going to talk about something complicated, about something delicate, about something sensitive, right? So when she says, you see, Terry, you know that the topic she's going to discuss is actually complicated, is actually delicate, all right? You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job. The word terrific sometimes can be a little confusing for us because it can be a false friend, right? Terrific is something good, is something positive. Terrific, great, amazing, awesome, right? It's something good, something positive. The word we normally confuse terrific with is the word terrible, right? Terrible has a negative meaning. Terrible, awful. Very, very, very bad, okay? So terrific is something positive and terrible is something negative. So be careful with the false friends, all right? You do a terrific job means you do a great job. You do an amazing job. You do an awesome job. You are excellent, okay? As an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us, no secrets there, all right? Moving on then. But you've been missing a few deadlines and I'm frankly worried. I want to talk to you here about this word miss. Miss is one of those words that has a million meanings in English and it's actually very, very useful and very used as well. In our case here, miss means fail to meet. Meet in our case here meaning cumprir. Right? Cumprir o prazo, meet the deadline. So fail to meet the deadline, miss the deadline. So miss the deadline, for example. But miss can also mean fail to hit. For example, in sports, if you miss the ball, you fail to hit the ball. For example, in baseball, right? You can also fail to catch. either in terms of sport, so fail to catch the ball. If you're talking, for instance, about American football or about basketball or even soccer, right? Fail to catch the ball, fail to get it in your hands. Or also, you can fail to catch the bus, right? So miss the bus, fail to catch the bus. Miss can also mean fail to understand. For example, if you miss the point of a book, for example, you don't understand that book. You don't understand what the book is trying to say. You miss the point, you just don't understand. You fail to understand, all right? Miss can also mean fail to experience. So if you say you missed a concert, for example, you didn't attend, you weren't able to experience. You didn't go, so you couldn't experience that. You failed to experience that, all right? Miss can also mean fail to attend. So if you say miss a class, for example, you couldn't attend the class, you couldn't watch the class, you couldn't go to class, so you failed to attend, you missed the class, all right? And also, let me just make some room here for more explanations. So, also, miss can mean fail to answer correctly. There we go. Fail to answer correctly. So, if you miss 3 questions in a test, for example, you didn't answer 3 questions correctly. You failed to answer correctly. You missed 3 questions. All right? So, miss can mean all of these failures. Fail to meet, fail to hit, fail to catch, fail to understand, fail to experience, fail to attend, and fail to answer correctly. All of these things can be said by using the word miss. But it's not just that. We're not there yet. There are also a few more meanings for the word miss. The word miss can also mean lack of something, meaning to be without something. So for example, if you say we're missing 4 bottles, meaning that we used to have or we need to have 4 bottles and we don't. So we lack of these bottles. We are without these bottles. We are missing 4 bottles, right? And finally, miss can also mean to feel the loss or the absence of someone. So if I say I miss you or I miss my mother, means that I feel the loss or the absence of this person. Our popular sentir saudade, right? So feel the loss, feel the absence is also miss, right? I miss you, I miss my mother, I miss my brother, I miss anyone. I feel the loss, I feel the absence. All right, so miss has all of these meanings, so it's quite a useful expression, right? But let's move forward in our dialogue. I know, like I said, it's been challenging. I've got a lot of different tasks at the moment, and I'm having a hard time keeping up. I know, like I said, it's been challenging. I've got a lot of different tasks at the moment, and I'm having a hard time keeping up. All right, there are no big secrets here. I just want to catch your attention to this expression here, to keep up. Keep up means what? It means to continue at the same pace. The same pace meaning the same rhythm, right? Or the same level. So someone is doing something and if you keep up with this person, you continue on the same level of that person. Or if someone is running, for example, and you want to run beside this person, you have to continue at the same pace, right? So you have to keep up. I could say, for example, then, don't run so fast, I can't keep up. That means I can't continue with you at the same pace that you are running, right? Or you can say, okay, so they're a lot smarter than me, I'm having a hard time keeping up. I'm having a hard time, I find it difficult to continue at the same level as them, all right? So to keep up, to continue at the same pace or at the same level, all right? Moving forward, I understand. It's been like that for everyone around you. However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others, and not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line. I understand. It's been like that for everyone around here. No secrets here, right? However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others. However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others. I want you to pay attention here to the pronunciation of the word of. Okay, in Portuguese, our letter F has quite a strong sound, a strong F, right? So we Brazilians, we tend to send this word here as off, right? And that's not the case here. Off does exist. It's the opposite of on, right? So on, ligado, off, desligado, for example, right? So off, this off here with double F, with two letters F, does have this sound of a very strong F. Off, off, off. All right? Our preposition here, though, doesn't have this strong F sound. It's more similar to a V, something like of. All right? Of. So, some of the deadlines, some of the deadlines you missed, of the deadlines, of, some of, all right? So not some of the deadlines, but some of the deadlines, some of the deadlines, all right? Very important pronunciation tip here, okay? And this sentence also has another word that has different meanings and that is quite useful, which is the word bit, right? The word bit can mean a small portion. For example, I want a bit of water. I want a small portion of water. I want a bit of water. It can also mean a small degree, to a small degree, to a small degree. So, for example, I'm a bit tired. I'm a bit tired, meaning that to a small degree, I am tired. I'm not very tired. I'm not extremely tired. I'm just a bit tired, to a small degree. All right? And it can also mean a small amount. So if I say he had a bit of luck, for example, he had a small amount of luck. He was lucky. He was a little lucky. He had a bit of luck. All right. And finally, you can also use bit to express a brief period of time. So for example, I can say, wait a bit. So wait a bit means wait for a short period of time, for a brief period of time, because I will be back soon, right? So wait a bit. I can also say, for example, when are you coming back? And the person answers, in a bit. In a bit, meaning in a short period of time, in a brief period of time, soon, right? So wait a bit, in a bit, using the word bit to express a brief, a short period of time, okay? So the word bit, as you can see, has all these different uses that are also very interesting, right? So can be a small portion in a bit of water, for example, to a small degree in I'm a bit tired, a small amount, he had a bit of luck, or a brief, a short period of time, wait a bit, I'll see you in a bit. All right, so again, many different uses for the same word. And once more, let's take a closer look at our pronunciation here, right? The word bit has this very unique sound, bit. It's something kinda like bit, or something between these two things, right? Bit. All right, it's different from beat. So the word beat can either mean strike, punch someone repeatedly, right? Or it can be the beat of a song in terms of music, right? Also, the word bit is different than the word beat, beterraba, right? So the pronunciation of these two words here, B-E-A-T and B-E-E-T, they are very, very similar. Beat, they have a long E sound. So it's something like beat, right? Beat, beat, beat. While the word that we are talking about here today in our dialogue is bit, bit, a little bit, a small bit, a bit of time, wait a bit, okay? So bit, meaning all of those things that we have already seen, different from beat, all right? Bit and beat, bit, beat, bit, beat, okay? So here today we're talking about bit, a bit more critical. We're a bit more critical. We're a bit more critical than others. All right, moving on. And not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line. And not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line. Let's just remember that when we say down the line, we are imagining a timeline, right? So there is a timeline. If I say down the line, I mean in the future, right? So down that timeline, forward in that timeline, further on in that timeline, in the future, all right? I'm sorry. I'll see if there's any way to make my workflow a little bit quicker. I'm sorry. I'll see if there's any way to make my workflow a little bit quicker, okay? I don't think there are any secrets here, okay? Once again, we have the word bit there as a reinforcement, as an emphasis for the word little. So a little bit is basically the same as little, okay? So if I say a little quicker or a little bit quicker, it's the same, it's just a little more emphatic, right? So I could say that a little quicker would be um pouco mais rápido and a little bit quicker um pouquinho mais rápido. So we have this emphasis to our expression there, all right? So we use it to give emphasis. Okay, so let's move on. You see, I don't think that it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be to prioritize critical tasks. You see, I don't think that it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be to prioritize critical tasks. Okay, once again, we have the expression you see here, right? So introducing a delicate topic, something a little complicated to talk about. I don't think that's the speed. Once again, attention here to the pronunciation of speed. So every time we have double E, we have this sound of E, something long, right? Speed. Speed, speed, okay? So I don't think it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be, we talked about this already in our previous classes, the use of would to express politeness, okay? So you are being polite, you're being more educated when giving a suggestion. So a politeness in giving suggestions. So when she says there, my suggestion would be, she is being extremely polite, extremely nice, extremely educated, right? She's not making a very harsh suggestion. She's being extremely polite, okay? Very well, let's move on. That's a very good idea, but I don't always know which tasks are time critical. That's a very good idea, but I don't always know which tasks are time critical. The word critical is also an interesting word because it can have two different meanings. It can mean a person who judges severely. For example, she's a very critical boss. She judges very severely. But it can also mean crucial or decisive, which is precisely our case here. When she says tasks are time critical, it means that time is crucial. Time is decisive in this situation here. I could say, for example, then, we know this deadline is critical for us. We know that this deadline is crucial. We know it's decisive. We know that it really, really, really matters, that it's really important. Okay, so there are also, again, two different meanings that we can use for the word critical. And when I say here, for example, in our dialogue, time critical, it means that time is crucial. Time is decisive. Time is a very important matter. All right, moving forward. Do you have a few minutes? I can show you how to check for priorities. It's a very simple process. Do you have a few minutes? I can show you how to check for priorities. It's a very simple process. No big secrets here, right? Sure. Thanks for helping me out. Sure. Thanks for helping me out. Help out is a phrasal verb that means basically the same thing as the verb without the preposition. So help out means just help. It's the same thing, right? But I told you already in a previous class that help out has this idea of helping someone to do something, giving some assistance, right? So give assistance, okay? So it's a reinforcement. It's an emphasis of the verb help, the verb that means give assistance, help out, all right? Finally, not a problem. As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure you're doing it on schedule. Not a problem. As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure we're doing it on schedule, okay? One thing here is the pronunciation of not a, which once again we link and we say not a, not a, not a problem, not a problem, all right? As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure you're doing it on schedule. Here again, we have the word schedule. And as you already know, the word schedule here means sort of a plan, right? And if you do something on schedule, it means that you are meeting the deadline. You are, therefore, following the plan. Everything is according to what we planned, right? So to be on schedule means to meet the deadline, to do something before the deadline. All right, now after you've seen all of this new information, I think it's time to listen to our dialogue one more time.
Hey, Terry, can I speak with you for a moment?
Sure. What do you need?
Can you join me in my office for a second?
Okay. How can I help you?
I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure.
Right. Keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. You see, Terry, I think you do a terrific job as an analyst, and I'm happy to have you here with us. But you've been missing a few deadlines, and I'm frankly worried.
I know. Like I said, it's been challenging. I've got a lot of different tasks at the moment, and I'm having a hard time keeping up.
I understand. It's been like that for everyone around here. However, some of the deadlines you missed were a bit more critical than others, and not keeping to the schedule can be a problem for other people down the line.
I'm sorry. I'll see if there's any way to make my workflow a little quicker.
You see, I don't think that it's the speed that really matters in this situation. My suggestion would be to prioritize critical tasks.
That's a very good idea, but I don't always know which tasks are time critical.
Do you have a few minutes? I can show you how to check for priorities. It's a very simple process.
Sure. Thanks for helping me out.
Not a problem. As I said, you do excellent work. We just have to make sure you're doing it on schedule.
All right, then. I hope you enjoyed this new kind of class that we have now from our new wave. It's a new phase for you, and I am sure you're going to make the most of it. Right? Don't forget to do your memorization hack practice, and I'll see you in our next class. See you later, private.